From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is a special pledge drive episode of Reveal. I'm Al Letson. Here at the show, we've gotten used to the fact that our reporting can rub people the wrong way, especially people who wish we weren't looking into their business. That's because our investigations often uncover things people are trying to hide. Today, we want to share with you some highlights. Last year, we did a couple stories about Tesla, the electric car company which was launching a new, more affordable car for the mass market.
This is the Tesla Model 3, the car that over 400,000 people have been waiting for.
It was a crucial time for the company, which was struggling to ramp up production. Our first story was about unsafe working conditions at the factory in Fremont, California. And Tesla's founder, Elon Musk, was not happy with us. On Twitter, he called our story BS and propaganda. Then he started attacking the news media in general.
I guess in a sense, his rant and ramble here on these tweets is not dissimilar from something we hear from the president quite often, that he feels
not
like he's a victim of fake news.
Musk even said Reveal is just some rich kids in Berkeley who took their political science professor too seriously. So what did Reveal reporter Will Evans do? He kept right on digging and followed up his original story with a second investigation about how Tesla handles worker injuries. Here's Will.
At the end of August, I get this email. It's from someone named Anna Watson. She says she's been working at the health clinic at Tesla's factory in Fremont, California. She's a physician assistant. That's a medical professional who provides care under the supervision of a doctor. The email says she was fired that day. She writes, "I can tell you exactly what they are doing and how they're risking the safety of patients and increasing the risk of accidents." So I jump on it. I drive down to the southern part of Silicon Valley to meet with her at a Starbucks. She's never done this before, so she's nervous, a little shaky.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to try to answer the question. Nervous energy, but I'm going to try to stay focused on what you want to know.
No, I want to know it all.
Anna is a 49-year-old mother of three. She sounds earnest, like she just has to get this off her chest and hopes everything will work out okay. She'd only worked at the clinic for a few weeks, but right from the beginning, she saw problems.
You know, at first you see something and you're like, you know, okay, this is a little bad, but I'm going to try to work with it. And I still was trying to do what I felt I could for people.
Anna has nearly 20 years' experience as a physician assistant, examining patients, diagnosing ailments, and prescribing medications. She's treated patients at a steel plant, a petroleum refinery, emergency rooms, even a trauma center. She tells me Tesla workers are not getting the care they need, and that she was a part of it. She says Tesla wanted to bring down the number of injuries that had to be recorded on company logs.
I just decided I can't just keep, looking the other way. They have a protocol that is committed to discharging every single patient, really without providing any kind of treatment or intervention that would make it a recordable. The little stuff that I was trying to let go, I just couldn't.
All of this was taking place after we reported last April that the electric car maker had a serious problem with employee safety. Anna reached out to me because she saw our first story. Before we go on, let me tell you a little bit about our original investigation that we co-reported with KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. It started with a bunch of 911 calls from Tesla.
They have an associate with a cut on his wrist, and it's pretty deep.
911?
He reported to the guard that his finger is near falling off.
Okay, where's the patient?
We just have an associate up in our medical offices that they want to get to the hospital because he has chest pains and he's vomiting.
Okay, and
Tesla had been under fire for having a higher injury rate than the industry average. It said it brought that number down, but we discovered that Tesla wasn't counting all of its injuries as required by law. And former Tesla safety professionals told us their concerns were ignored. We took a tour of the factory. Some dangerous spots on the factory floor weren't marked with yellow, the standard color for safety, because Elon Musk didn't like the color.
Well, yeah, he wanted the plant to be specific colors. So everything had to be red, gray. It had to be red and gray.
We talked with Tesla about what we found, and the company denied it all. But right after our story, California's Workplace Safety Agency, Cal OSHA, opened an investigation.
All of this comes just a couple of days after Reveal published an investigative piece saying that Tesla was, in fact, underreporting workplace injuries. So, guys, this is yet another headline headache for Tesla.
It turns out Kalosh's ability to enforce the law on counting injuries was pretty weak. The agency only had about 6 months from the date of an injury to fine a company, and these kinds of violations usually take time to catch. After we reported that, California lawmakers passed a bill giving Cal OSHA more time to investigate. Elon Musk was still talking about what we found months later and denying it. Just as we were wrapping up this story and pushing Tesla for answers, Musk went on the offensive during a call with investors and analysts.
We do get these, like, quite unfair, accusations. For example, one of them was, like, that we were underreporting injuries.
Lori Shelby, Tesla's vice president for safety, bragged about the factory's health center. After our first story, they hired a new company to run it.
So when injuries do occur, we get the absolute best care for our associates. I'm really super happy with the care they're giving, and I think the employees are as well.
Anna, who sent me the email about poor treatment for injured workers, joined that new clinic in August. But she says she found the company was still more concerned with making its safety record look good than with treating workers. After our coffee on the first day we met, Anna and I went to Chili's for lunch, and she told me about some of the things that were happening on the factory floor.
Oh, I had this patient, and a trunk fell on him, and he was in such
severe... Like a car trunk?
Uh-huh.
She didn't tell me his name, but later on, I was able to get a copy of Tesla's official injury list and started contacting injured workers. I got a guy named Stefan Nelson on the phone, and he started telling me about how a trunk fell on his back. I realized this must be the guy Anna was talking about, so I go to see him.
So what do you got there?
These are my documents from when I had to go to the health center.
We're sitting in folding chairs outside his girlfriend's house in Oakland, where dogs, cars, and trains are passing by. He's a big athletic guy, 30 years old. He used to play semi-pro football. But since getting hurt at Tesla, he gets up slowly and walks a little hunched over to one side. On August 13th, he was working the late shift, putting some caulk on the inside of a Tesla trunk on the production line.
And before I knew it, I just felt a heavy object just hit the middle of my back.
The hatchback had swung down.
I stood up straight for like a quick second. Everybody was asking if I was all right, and my whole back just locked up. I couldn't walk. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't even stand up straight.
He says the pain was unbearable. He had deep red bruises across his back and asked his supervisors to call an ambulance.
They were saying that they couldn't because it'll cost Tesla a lot of money, so they just had to wait to see what the Tesla doctor said. And the first time we asked the Tesla doctor if they could call the ambulance because they saw how much pain I was in, he said no.
Anna said even she, as a trained medical professional, wasn't allowed to call 911. It had to be approved by a doctor who rarely okayed it. And there was something else Anna told me that surprised me.
There was a strong push not to send anybody in an ambulance to the extent that they would even call a patient a lift to have them transferred to the hospital that way.
Sending patients to the ER in a lift. That means no emergency medical care on the way to the hospital. It's a judgment call by the doctor, but it struck a lot of people in the factory as inhumane.
When the security guard called the doctor three times to see if they could call the ambulance because he was even worried about my pain, and the doctor told him no, but they could call a lift to send me to the hospital. I'm like, what is the point of a lift? Like, I can't sit up straight. I can't walk or do anything.
What did you think of that? I mean, what were you thinking when they said that?
What kind of company am I working for? I just felt heartbroken because it seemed like what they was telling us in the orientation, that Tesla is a company that cares about their employee safety. It just seemed like it was just a whole reversal.
Stefan ends up calling his girlfriend to take him to the emergency room. But his supervisor tells him he has to show up for work the next day or else he'll get written up. He needs the job, so he tries.
I couldn't even get out the car to even get to my department. I tried to let the supervisor know, but it's like they're only caring about one thing, and that's trying to make their goal, which is trying to make sure that all the cars get done complete.
He eventually shuffles in pain over to his department. He obviously can't do the job, so they send him to the health center. And here's where it gets really bizarre. Normally, a worker who's too injured to do their regular job will be given an easier one, so they don't make the injury worse. They get work restrictions, like don't lift more than 20 pounds. But Anna says that wasn't allowed.
And we were always required to bring the patient back just to their full duty job.
Why? What's the point of that?
Because it keeps the patient off of their records. It keeps the patient off of their books. So 100% the goal of the clinic was to keep as many patients off of the books as possible.
So the health center lets Stefan go home for the day, but they tell him he has to come back to work the next day full duty. This happened over and over until Anna finally sent Stefan to an outside clinic. It's run by the same company that manages the clinic at the factory, but there, at least, providers are allowed to give work restrictions. But it can take a long time to get an appointment. Stefan was diagnosed with a crushing injury, with bruises and intractable pain. 8 days after his injury, he was finally given work restrictions. Don't bend, squat, climb stairs, or lift more than 10 pounds. In the end, Stefan's injury had to go on Tesla's books. And Anna says that's another reason the system doesn't make sense. Some workers whose injuries are so serious they'll eventually have to be counted are still denied appropriate care when they're hurting the most. Can you give me like a rundown of just the kinds of things that people would be sent back to their jobs with?
It was anything. It was everything. Cuts, lacerations, burns, sprained ankles, back pain, back strain, shoulder injuries, elbow injuries, wrist injuries from torque guns. If you couldn't walk out, it didn't matter.
She says there were other strategies to keep the injury rates down. Like the clinic would decide that some injuries were not work-related even before patients were fully evaluated. There was a culture, she says, of just blowing off patients. Some temp workers who were hurt in the factory were simply turned away from the clinic. I talked to a couple of them who said they couldn't get help, and their names didn't show up on Tesla's official list of injuries. I showed Anna the injury list for the time period she was there. Is that an undercount?
By far. By far. It was more than twice that many people daily that should have been considered a serious injury or illness based on the OSHA standards.
And they're just not on the list?
No, they're not on the list. Those people wouldn't make it to the list because we never gave them the treatment they deserved.
Anna tells me that Tesla was so concerned about keeping its injury rate down that one time company officials told clinic staff to stop prescribing exercises to injured workers so they wouldn't be counted. By late August, Anna reached her breaking point.
You just can't participate in a system like that that is not going to consider treating the patient and doing what's appropriate for the patient.
She got into an argument with the clinic owner, and he fired her for not deferring to doctors. That's when she contacted me.
I just see the workers at Tesla as having, like, absolutely no voice. I do feel, like, extra responsible to try to speak up for what's going on there.
At the same time, Anna sent a complaint to Cal OSHA, the workplace safety agency. She wasn't expecting the response she got. Cal OSHA sent her a letter saying they folded her complaint into the investigation they started right after our first story ran. They didn't mention they had already closed that investigation 2 weeks before Anna's complaint and only fined Tesla $400 for a single violation. Anna got on the phone to insist that they investigate, and she says they told her that it wasn't their responsibility, that she should try contacting other agencies.
I don't see how Cal OSHA is not responsible for that.
Cal OSHA Chief Julianne Sum wouldn't do an interview, but Anna kept pushing, and Cal OSHA eventually did do an investigation. In the end, it fined the company, a grand total of $425. We wanted to talk to Tesla, too, but they turned down our interview requests. Anna wasn't the only one who said Tesla pressured the clinic to dismiss injuries. I talked to another former clinic employee who said a Tesla official would routinely contact the head doctor about specific workers and lean on the clinic to downplay and disregard the injuries. The former employee requested anonymity for fear of being blackballed in the industry. So I asked the head doctor about it.
So it's actually quite the opposite. What Tesla pressures us on is accurate documentation.
Dr. Basil Besch owns Access Omnicare, which Tesla hired to run its on-site health center. He'd submitted a proposal that he could help lower the company's injury numbers. Tesla set up the call with him and listened in. He says Tesla does ask doctors for more clarity on specific cases because they want their injury log to be as accurate as possible.
They are not in the business of making clinical determinations at all. We make those clinical determinations only based on what the patient needs.
I ask him about sending injured workers back to the assembly line without any work restrictions.
There's always going to be somebody who says, you know, I shouldn't be working. But if you look objectively at the totality of the medical examination, that's not always the case.
I ask him about Stefan, who had a car trunk fall on his back and was sent back to work when he could barely walk. The doctor says he can't comment on any specific patient without an okay from that person, but he does say that a physician must have determined that there wasn't a safety issue.
So culturally, there were folks in the past who were expecting that anytime they come to the clinic, they would be taken off of work. And when we told them, no, we really want to do what's best for you, it's taking some time to get buy-in.
I've been told that the on-call doctor often says not to call 911 and instead recommends patients go to the hospital in a Lyft.
Well, you're talking to the on-call doctor, so that would be correct. We right-size the care, right?
He gives an example of a Tesla worker who had the top of his finger cut off. He said the guy needed to go to the hospital, but not in an ambulance.
But you do send people to the emergency room in a Lyft.
We send people to emergency room by transport if they don't need an ambulance. That's correct.
Okay.
Not all patients. I hope this makes your article, Will. Dr. Besch said not all patients who go to the emergency room are taken by ambulance.
I called up a couple of the medical assistants who worked the night shift at the clinic, sometimes alone. They saw a lot of the same things Anna was telling me. They said they felt overwhelmed with patients and really uncomfortable with the doctor's orders to call a Lyft, including for a worker whose fingers were broken and mangled, and another worker who was lightheaded and dizzy. But the doctor takes issue with a lot of the things his former employees say. He dismisses Anna as a short-timer who got fired for working outside her scope. He says the whole thing about not prescribing exercises was only for workers who weren't actually injured. And as for the temp workers who weren't treated at the clinic, he says that's just an administrative problem, and they're straightening it out. Overall, the doctor said Tesla provides its workers top-notch care.
We treat the Tesla employees just the same way we treat our professional athletes. If Steph Curry twists his knee on a Thursday night game, that guy's in the MRI scanner on Friday morning, and you're coming back.
I called up Anna to tell her what her former boss said. She called it a ridiculous statement. Anna has a new job now at an urgent care clinic, but she still worries about the Tesla workers who could suffer long-term damage from not getting the care they need.
You go to Tesla and you think it's going to be this innovative, great, wonderful place to be, like this kind of futuristic company. And I guess it's just kind of disappointing that that's our future, basically, where the worker still doesn't matter.
Our story was produced by Reveal's Will Evans and Catherine Miskowski. By the way, on the day Stefan Nelson was talking to Will, Stefan got a new job offer.
I feel ecstatic. Something told me like today was just going to be a good day. Now I can actually quit working at Tesla.
When are you going to quit?
Today.
Will has spent nearly a year and a half reporting on Tesla, winning the confidence of whistleblowers and holding the company accountable. His work caught the attention of California state officials, who grilled the company after this story came out and threatened to cut off tax incentives. If this kind of in-depth journalism is important to you, you can help make it happen by supporting this public radio station. Here's how.